thankful for the good singing and thankful for the light that's still God's today into the land of a perfect day. I realize that this is the week that we have set aside, and really, I've said this maybe last year, but the incarnation or the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ should be just as important to us in July as it is in December. And it should be just as significant to us then. We ought to be able to rejoice in it in the dead of the summer, just like we do in December. And but this is a time that we more intentionally, I guess, think about the incarnation. And we're going to talk about that, but so this may seem strange, but we're going to ask you to turn to two places. John chapter number 18 and Hebrews chapter number 2. Again, I do desire your prayers. Been a little weak this week, and God knows my frame. And I've been thinking about these things, and we'll try our best to preach that. And we're going to talk about the birth maybe in just a minute too. But John chapter number 18, and starting with verse 28. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up to thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him, and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of his people. And again, I desire your prayers, and I really intend on being brief. I know the kids have practice today, and then we've got to come back tonight. But I thought about how that we're entering in to a season, really, that most of the people that will celebrate it have no idea what they're celebrating. It'll be to them a very worldly celebration. It'll be to some a winter solstice. It'll be to some a day or two off of work. It'll be to some just the getting of gifts, and that's all it'll be. And so when it's over, it'll be as though it was nothing, and we'll pack things up, and then there'll be some who usually when they pack things away after this week, there'll be a spirit of sadness that'll linger that's over, and for it was a time that we gathered with family, and there's usually a bit of a sadness lingering there when families go back home if you're able to gather this year, but it goes far beyond that, and I like to let my mind go back 2,000 years ago about this time when it's really hard for us to understand and imagine, but we talked about it in Sunday school, the foreknowledge of God. And Brother Benny made mention in Galatians chapter 4, and I think verse 4, it makes the statement Paul said that in the fullness of time it came that he should be born of a woman. And I've thought about that from the foundation of the world that this was always going to be the time that the Lord Jesus Christ should be born. And God knows the end from the beginning. And Philip said that we have a hard time understanding. But if we remember that God abides outside of time, He abides in His own essence. And so He's not constrained to time like you and I think of. But there was a day before that time was that this had already been set into place, that a covenant had already been made between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And in the process of time, as man began to multiply, he showed types and shadows of things that were to come. But there came a day at the end of Malachi that for 400 years God was silent without a prophet. But thank God there was still a remnant according to the election of grace. You see, it was prophesied in Micah that it had to be in Bethlehem. The book of Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 says that though Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou art little among the nations, and though thou be small, out of thee shall come forth to me one that shall rule my people Israel, one whose going forth have been of old,
abode of everlasting. And so that was the prophecy of where the Christ should be born. And Isaiah had prophesied some 700 years before that a virgin shall conceive. He was trying to get the king to ask the Son of God. He said, God is with you. And he said, God will show you. And he'll drive these nations back. And the king said, I won't ask a sign from God. And Isaiah said, you might not ask one, but God will give you a sign. And this shall be the sign that, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel, which meant God with us. And so all of these prophecies sort of hung there. And I can't help but think that, that down through the years, I've often been in gravesides at funerals, and I've often wondered as we're there at the graveside that, that there is coming a day that, that the Son of Man shall come and descend from heaven with a shout. And what must it be like for those who might be standing along the graveside when they begin to rise up with a new body and a newness of life? I've often wondered those shepherds that you read about in Luke chapter 2. I very well think that they were in Bethlehem of Judea. That's where David grew up, or that's where he was from, and that's where he took care of his sheep, and that's where the prophecy according to Micah said that this Christ should be born, that his going forth had been from old, even from everlasting. There were times in the Old Testament that before Jesus Christ was born as a man, he did show up on the earth. He showed up a few different times. He met with Abraham in the plains of Mamre with two angels. He talked with Abraham. He sent the angels into Sodom and Gomorrah. But the Bible says the Lord himself stood by and just talked with Abraham in the door of the tent. Began to make promises unto Abraham. And we know that it was the Lord. For he said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? There's not but one that had that kind of authority and power. It was surely the Lord. We know that the Lord was in a form of a burning bush calling unto Moses. For he said that the place where you stand, Moses, is his own holy ground. No angel would have the right to make men take off their shoes and bow down and worship him. It was the great I Am. It was the Lord Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate, but here on this earth. I believe that he showed himself unto Joshua outside of Jericho when Joshua saw. He saw a captain of the guard, and the Bible said that Joshua saw a soldier with a sword drawn in his hand, and he simply said, are you for us? Or are you for our adversary? And the man said unto Joshua, nay, I am for thee. He said, I am the captain of the host of the Lord. And he said, take off your shoes from your feet, and the place whereon you stand is holy ground. I believe that was the Lord Jesus Christ. But all of those times of his appearing in the Old Testament, it was different than this time. For after he would appear to men, he would just simply go back to that spirit being that he had always been, that he had been from the beginning with the Father and with the Holy Ghost, a spirit being that the only way you would know he was there is if he made himself known unto you. And God is the Spirit, you see. But the prophecy had went forth that an incarnation had to take place, that God would wrap himself in the form of man, that he would take upon him. That's why I read in Hebrews, not upon himself the nature of angels. For when angels sinned, he didn't become an angel to win the angels, to save the angels. But when mankind sinned, it was set in motion that there would come a day, because man was under the curse of the law, that he himself would have to take upon that nature and become a curse for us. So at this time, those shepherds, as you find in Luke, were out abiding in their fields by night. And I believe maybe in their heart they were thinking that there were good, thank God, Jews back in those days. They weren't all a bunch of hypocrites. There were some that were waiting for the consolation of Israel. There were some that held on to the promise. I know it's been 400 years. I know it's been nearly 2,000 years since Moses wrote a one that should come. But Moses did write of him. The Lord Himself said, search those scriptures. He said, if you believed Moses, you'd believe me, for he wrote of me that the Lord would raise up a prophet like unto Moses. I believe those shepherds, as they watched their flock by night, I believe maybe they were waiting for the consolation, and maybe they're not so different than what you and I are today. I don't know about you. I'm waiting for the consolation. I'm waiting for the coming of the Son of God. I'm waiting. I've seen things. I've about had enough of this world. What I mean by that, I saw something the other day, one of the most vile things I think I've ever seen. It was a picture, and I posted it on Facebook, of a Christmas tree, and on there, as their star on the top of their tree, it was a horse nips, it was abortion tools. They were celebrating the death of every baby that they killed in these clinics, and they were brazen about it. I'm telling you what's the truth. It cannot go on like this much longer. I believe we're soon going to come down. I believe we're dovetailing down to when the end shall come. I believe you better be getting ready if you're lost without God. Those shepherds maybe were waiting for the coming of the Son of God. They were waiting for the comfort and the consolation. I'm like them today. I'm waiting for the coming and the appearing of the great God and Savior. I'm waiting for the day. Heard a commercial the other day and was talking with somebody here the other day that had been to a doctor, and this commercial, and it was on those doctor's forms. It says the birth that you were born with, the gender associated with you, given to you, but now what is your, now what do you claim to be? In other words, what do you identify as? I'm telling you the truth today. I'll get back on that in a minute. We are shaking our hand at God. And He won't put up with that forever.
Right.
You can mark her down. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So these shepherds were there like they had been all of their life, just waiting out, waiting in the dark night, waiting, I believe, for the consolation of Him that was to come. And all of a sudden the Bible said an angel, and maybe it was Gabriel, came before them and said, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that shall be to all people, for unto you in this day in the city of David is born a Savior. It's Christ the Lord. And the Bible said fear fell upon those men. I can't imagine, but I'll say this today, we that are waiting, I'm waiting to receive that message. It was a message of hope, the one that they had longed for and looked for. It has finally happened. God, who abides outside of time and in His own essence, and now we have a place where eternity has been married into time, where God has been married into time, where the eternal God is now born as a babe in a manger. And the Bible says it was commanded those angels that fail not with them that fail in the beginning. It went out a decree unto them that when He should be brought forth into this world, let all the hosts of heaven worship Him. So when Gabriel made that announcement that Mary has had her baby, the Bible said that suddenly, I mean bang, the whole sky lit up with a multitude of angels. There are angels that you couldn't number. The Bible declares them 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. But they understood what had just taken place. They understood maybe when He left eternity, when He took off the robe of glory that He had had. Can you imagine what a sight that must have been when the fullness of time did come and the Son of Man, the eternal Son of God, took off His crown, just took off His robe of glory. and the angels watched him go down, and all of a sudden enter into the womb of this little Jewish mother. Can you imagine what that must have been like? How they watched him drop his glory. The Bible said that he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He made himself of no reputation, but he took upon himself the form of a servant. And I read to you in Hebrews, and he was made lower than the angels for a little while. He that made the angels for just a span was made lower than them for the suffering of death. I know we like to remember Christmas about the birth. That's what it is about. And that's what those angels understood that night. The angels understood. They told the shepherds, go and find him. But don't be scared how you find him. You're not going to find him in a palace. They said you're going to find him just in a stable. You're going to see this little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And then they just departed. And the shepherds said one to another, let us go and see this thing that's come to pass. And they did. And they went there and they saw that little baby, just as the angels had said. And they rejoiced with great joy when they saw the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought about, in Matthew gives an account of wise men, the magi, that were looking for an appearance. And they were looking for a king. Keep that in mind. They were looking for a king. And they said, we saw a star in the east. And they came looking for that king. And they made their way, where else would you go to find the king but to the palace? And they made their way to Jerusalem and to Herod's palace. And they said, where is he that is born king of the Jews? And I don't know about you. I don't know that there's ever been one before or since that's been born king. There are many in the course of history that have been born a prince. But I don't know of any that has been born a king. But that's who they came seeking after. Born a king of the Jews. And you know that story how that, and I'll not get into that, but you know that story how that Pilate sent, or how that Herod sent him out. And they went and searched and they rejoiced when they saw the star. Apparently the star disappeared for a while and they saw it again. And it come and led him right to the place where he was. And they went in and they bowed down, the Bible said. And they saw that little baby there with Mary his mother. And they fell down and they worshipped him. And they presented unto him gifts, gold, because he was a king. Frankincense, because he was a priest, and the incense would carry the prayers up unto God. But then they gave him myrrh. Do you know what that was? It was a spice. But it was a spice that was used at burying. I want you to understand that. It was a spice that they used for a purification of a body that was to be buried. So preacher, you're telling me from the time that he was born, the stench of death was upon him. Yes, sir. That's what I'm telling you. And they worshipped him. But I thought after this, the Bible says that after 8 days, they took him to be circumcised and called his name Jesus. But I thought that after that, after about 40 days, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought him into the temple. That's what I wanted to get to. There was a man by the name of Simeon there. And Simeon was one that waited for the consolation. It was revealed to him, the Bible says, that he should not taste of death until he should have seen the Lord Christ. Imagine what that must have been. I don't know how long beforehand God had gave that knowledge to him. But he had known that I'll not leave this earth until I see the anointed of God. And then in the process of time, maybe he had given up. I don't know. I think he was holding on. I think that's what many of us are doing. We're holding on. Listen to me. Some of us have been on the journey for a while. Some of us, Satan has made doubts to appear in our mind for a while. Some of us, doubts and fears and whatever that Satan's devices can throw at us, I want you to understand the promise of God is still real. I want you to understand the promise is still that He's coming back for His own. I want you to understand that those of us that are still waiting are waiting for the consolation and the comfort and the hope of Israel, for the hope of this world, that He will come and take us out of this place to go be with Him. And so this man had waited. And he waited and he waited and he waited. And finally the time came. And God said, Simeon, get yourself into the temple. The time is near. I don't expect Simeon probably thought to find it how he found it. He probably expected to see a full-grown man. But Simeon went in into the temple and he saw Mary and Joseph and he saw the baby in the arms of Mary. And God spoke to him and said, this is Him. This is the Redeemer. This is the consolation. This is the comfort. And nations are going to rise and fall because of that baby. And the Bible said he took Jesus out of the arms of his mother and he held him up and he said, blessed be the name of God. Now let thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen the salvation of God. I thought about that a lot. I thought about when you're ready to leave this earth. It's easy to leave this earth if your eyes have seen the salvation of God. It's easy to leave this earth. I've thought about Paul down through the years. When Paul began to be shut up in prison, how he seemed to have no fear. Because Paul had seen the salvation of God. Because it had happened on a road to Damascus. I know Satan and I know how he operates. I know I've ran Satan back to my time and place. Over and over and over and over. And I know he'll even cause you to doubt that. But you know what? Running back to the cross of Calvary. That's what I read in the Scripture. When Pilate asked Jesus Christ, are you indeed a king? And Jesus said, thou sayest that I am. He said, are you from this world? And Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight. But He said, for this sin, I was born. I want you to get a hold of that today. The birth and the incarnation, Christmas morning, it wouldn't really mean a thing if not for what He came to do. He came to die. He said, for this cause I came. To bear witness unto the truth. He did good while He was here. He healed the sick and He raised the dead. But that's not why He came. He came to take upon Himself the form of a servant. He came to die. He came to die for a sinful nation and a sinful world. I read there, we talked about in Sunday school some, on the doctrine of predestination. That's not a doctrine that you need to run from. That's a doctrine that you might not understand at all, but that's a doctrine not to say that you cannot be saved. That's a doctrine that some teach haphazardly and erroneously, and some say you're either born to die lost or born to be saved, and you have nothing to do with that. That's a lie. That's what's being taught in some places. But predestination is simply God knowing the end from the beginning. And He knows who will react to His gospel by our own free will. I read to you in Hebrews that by the grace of God, He should taste death for every man. Every man has an opportunity to be saved. Brother Danny read it in Sunday school this morning. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It goes on to say, he that believeth on the Son of God hath life. You see, Satan would twist Scripture. He'll get you confused. Did you really get saved? I can tell you this, the night that I lay dying, the night that I was fixing to leave this earth, that question popped into my mind. As I lay in my heart, I was given out. Is it going to be the last time? I can promise you this, that question, and Satan and all of his horror came Have you really been saved? Have you really been born again? And you know what it said? I read in Hebrews, it said, and one more time, I'll put my trust in thee. And my mind went back one more time to that night in faith where I began to cry out unto God. And you know what I felt? I felt comfort and peace. I can remember rolling over in that helicopter and seeing Nashville coming and hearing the EMT asking the pilot, how much further? He's dying, basically. How much longer is it going to be? And I can remember the sweetest peace coming over me. I can remember thinking as the lights of Nashville, Tennessee came up to meet that helicopter, I'm going to a place where there'll be no lights like this, but there'll be a light, all right. And the next light I see might indeed be the Son of God. I'm telling you, it's real. I'm telling you, I'm still waiting for the consolation of Israel, as they said. I'm waiting for the coming of the Son of God and the Son of Man. I know Satan would steal your joy. I know he'd steal your faith. He'd shipwreck your faith. But pointing to the cross at Calvary, that's what he came to do. He came, he was born. We celebrate his birth. But really his birth would mean nothing without his death. And really his death would mean nothing without his resurrection. It was at the resurrection that the sins were formally discharged. That we are justified by faith. That the Bible says in Hebrews, therefore being justified by faith. Justified by faith. In chapter number 5 of the book of Romans, justified by faith, we have peace with God through Christ Jesus. See, it's not... I've heard people, and I guess I've said it too, that my time and place is what's taken me to heaven. And I know what you mean by that. But it's not that time and place that takes you there. It's the cross of Calvary. It's the man on the tree. That little babe that was born in the stable, that little babe that was laid in a manger, would one day become the man on the tree. And the blood that he shed, it ain't your time and your place. It's good and important and needful to have one. It's not even your repentance that saves you. You can't get saved without it. But it is faith in that Son of God and the man on the tree. That's what will save a sinner. By faith, you have been made whole. Amen. And so that's why he came. The shepherds rejoiced. The magi rejoiced. All that gathered round about him. Simeon rejoiced. He said, now mine eyes have seen. Anna the prophetess rejoiced. She was there 80 years, a widow. And she spoke of all that concerned themselves about him. But my friend, what will save a sinner is the blood of the Lamb of God. It's the faith. It works together with repentance, but it's faith. So celebrate Christmas. I'm glad that he came as a man. He had to. He had to be born. But the reason he had to be born was so he could die. For this cause I came into this world, to bear witness unto the truth. He had to be born. For he said, a body thou hast prepared me. He had to be born. In the fullness of time, he had to come. And he had to be born. But it's from his birth all the way up to the end, when he stood before Pilate, and Pilate said, Jesus said, my servants will not fight. They're going to let me die on the cross, because this is why I came, to save them that are lost. Thank God, hallelujah, for the incarnation. Thank God, hallelujah, for the death and the burial and the resurrection. That's what Christmas is about. Not just about its birth, but the birth that would lead to the death and the resurrection. God bless you. Today is our prayer.
Bless you.